Okay. The learning today will be as a refuah shlema for Elisheva Bas Netta, Hal the alum who is in need of a refuah bekarov mamish, and she should have a speedy recovery. Also, I made for you a sheet, as you see, but I updated the sheets. I put pictures on because I feel like I'm mentioning a lot of rabbis, and they probably all sound the same to you, and maybe even look the same to you. But hopefully, if we do this enough times, you'll learn that not all rabbis with white beards look exactly the same. So we're going to discuss Shir 4, the fourth Shir today in Rav Hoffman's Sefer. I actually saw that a different Sefer was in the Sfarim stores, a new different topic was out. But we'll work on this first, and then we'll move on to other things, Bezos Hashem. Today we're going to talk about dealing with failure. What does a person know? How do they approach dealing with failure? And what is a proper perspective? The first question is the fear. Is yiras hachet, the fear of an aveira, a fear of sin, is that helpful or harmful? Is it appropriate, is it proper for a person to have a sense, ooh, I don't want to be Michal Shabbos, I don't want to mess up in this project. Is that fear, that sense of perhaps messing up, is that a healthy thing, or is that an unhealthy thing? You have it in all types of areas, not just shmiras hamitzvos, but a person speaks in public. Is it good to have a little bit of a fear before they go in front of people and speak? Is it better to be more relaxed? Different people have different reactions or feelings of what's going on, stressful situations, afraid of certain things happening. Is that a healthy thing or is that an unhealthy thing? And he explains that the feeling of chet or failure is something that's universal. It's not just for people connected to Yiddishkeit. As we explained last time, all types of people are afraid of messing up. But those who are connected to Torah Mitzvot, we might have a stronger feeling because of Hashem and Onesh and the Torah, and things related to that topic. We've mentioned before that certainly in the firm community, people who have anxiety, OCD, things of that nature, it's Judaism and Torah Mitzvot is a great outlet for OCD and anxiety. Because there's so many details. Did I wash my hands correctly? Did I make a neder? Do I need to do Hataras Nadarim? There are so many things where anxiety and obsession can manifest themselves in our daily living, and we have to be super, super careful to not let that happen and to be very on top of those types of feelings. And often, people who fail or sin, they want to punish themselves. I did an Aveira, and I feel like something bad should happen to me. I said something I shouldn't have said, and it would be appropriate if something negative happened in return. I would feel that's a kapara. That would be something, a punishment that would happen to me. And that would be appropriate. Or they'll take on all types of very firm-looking things to push themselves. I, by accident, was Michal Shabbos. I saw something I wasn't supposed to see. I ate something I wasn't supposed to eat. And now I'm going to go the other extreme and push myself away from that to do something as a form of kapara, as a form of a punishment for what I did. But at the end of the day, those types of things where I messed up, I failed in some area in my Avodas Hashem, and now I'm going to do something to punish me, to hurt myself, that's never helpful. That's almost always going to be harmful. Is the fear, again, a positive or a negative thing? Now, there are sources in the Torah that talk about fear and consequences of chet, and if you do this, then this will happen, and if you do this, Aveira, and this will happen to Jewish people. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Kisi, so the Chet Egel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response can be very dramatic. So the answer is that it depends on the person. Some people in life react in to pachad, to fear, to stress in a helpful way. That stress helps the juices flowing, it helps them get going, it helps them react better, it pushes them. And for that person, intense feelings about a failure, chet, things like that, can motivate them in a positive way. And for some people, the opposite, it shuts them down. They turn off, they become paralyzed, and they're unable to move forward. And that's why, as we'll say again and again, you need to know yourself. You need to know your own kochas hanefesh. What are you capable of? What helps you? What hurts you when these things come to you? Because if focusing on chet, on failure, on messing up, is going to cause you yeish to give up, then that's not a healthy path. So you need to know yourself and how you're going to react. So I'll give you one example. So Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, that's this one over here, okay? This is Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer. He was the Rav of Slutsk, the father-in-law of Aaron Cutler. So Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, for most of his life, most of his entire life, he met with people, he was Osek B'Tzarchei Sibor, gave people advice, people who were in need of chizuk, and he spent a lot of his time as a Rosh Hashiva and a Rav in Yerushalayim with people and involved in other people's lives. As he got older, towards the end of his life, he stopped doing that. He was not so much involved with people anymore, and he focused almost exclusively on writing his Chidushim on the Rambam, the Evin Ezra, which is a classic work in the yeshivas, because he felt that it was important for it to get out into the world, and this was his contribution to the Torah world. He used the Yom HaMisa, the day of death, the idea that we're going to leave this world, not in a negative way. It didn't shut him down. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm going to stay in bed all day. And who knows when I'm going to leave this world, what's going to be, and just not function. He used that feeling of, the clock is ticking. We have to make the most of our time in this world to focus himself, to work on what he felt was his contribution to our world. And he wrote one of the most important books on the Rambam and Torah learning in the last 100 years. And for him, that pacha, that fear, did not shut him down or paralyze him. For him, it motivated him in a healthy way, and we benefit from that motivation to this day. And a person needs to know, are you going to be motivated in a positive way by fear, by the possibility of chet, by messing up, not having enough time, or is that going to paralyze you and shut you down? For some people, it's helpful. For many people, it can make things work. So let's talk about Yiras Shamayim, according to the Vilna Gaon. We often use this phrase, a person has to have Yiras Shamayim, a sense of awe, a sense of fear, so to speak, in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what does that mean in the eyes of the Vilna Gaon? Many people have a mistaken view of Yiras Shamayim. I think many people think, when they talk about awe and fear of heaven, they think of Hashem with a big white beard and Shamayim with thunderbolts ready to throw down at you at any moment if you mess up. And it's not a very Jewish idea. It's perhaps similar to like Zeus and, you know, from Greek mythology. That's not a very Torah idea of how we view our relationship with Hashem. Let's look at a beautiful comments of the Vilna Gaon on Mishlei in Perek Yud to see what Yiras Shamayim is supposed to be and what it's not supposed to be. So the pasuk says in Mishlei, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim. Fear of heaven should add days to your life. Kasher Adam Tamid Biras Upachad Chayav Einam Chayim. When a person is always fearful and anxious and full of problems in their head, so it doesn't add life to them, it's no life at all. A person can die from being so anxious and fearful and get nothing accomplished in their life. That's regular fear. But Yiras Hashem is not the case. It should add days. Fear of what might be in the future in your life is a fear that's not healthy. Because that type of fear causes you to shut down and not be able to function, and it takes days off your life. But Yiras Hashem, healthy Yiras Hashem, a healthy relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, should not shut you down or paralyze you, but rather it should add more to your days of life. More meaning, more accomplishments, more joy, and more life to your life. It should be a better life. It should be enhanced. If Yiras Shamayim is making you nervous and sad, then that's not proper Yiras Shamayim. If your image of Hashem and your relationship with Hashem is causing you to shut down and to not function and to not accomplish what you need to do, then you need to check and figure out what's wrong with that. Yiras Shamayim is not about thinking about chet and failure. It's about what I have to do and to increase my avodas Hashem, to take advantage of my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'll work on getting better, not about failing. And if you focus on failing, it's going to shorten your life. You have to focus on what you can do to be better, how to accomplish more, and how to grow. There are people who give up when they hear about a difficult medical diagnosis. And they shut down. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to work on getting better. I have nothing left to accomplish. The end is here. There's nothing left to do. And their reaction alone can kill them. Just the harsh reaction to that medical diagnosis can shut them down. And there are others who say, no, I received this diagnosis, so now what am I going to do? How am I going to make the most of my time here? How am I going to make the most of every single day and use this opportunity to focus on my time in this world and to make the most of what I can do and have a positive effect? So he tells the story. We'll tell the story in a second, but in the Koch Le'or, which is the writings of Yitzhak Blaz, the Talmud of Sol Salanter, so there is a recording in one of the editions from a Moshe Tukachinsky, who heard this from Rav Avram Grzinski, and he asked Rav Yitzhak Blazer the following question. Rav Yitzhak Blazer was the primary student of Sol Salanter. So Rav Yitzhak Blazer, everyone sees this picture of him? That's him sitting on the steps. I think it's the only picture we have of Yitzhak Blazer. So this is at the end of his life in Yerushalayim. So Rav Yitzhak Blazer, when he spoke about Hashem and Tshuva, he often focused on Tshuva me'ahava, Tshuva out of love of Hashem, out of coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, building that relationship in a positive way. But they said, your Rebbe, the great founder of the Musar movement, Rabbi Saul Salanter, he focused on Tshuva Meira, Yira Shemayim, awe in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trepidation, having a sense of pachad, fear before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we asked Rabbi Yitzhak Blazer, why is it that you flip? And also, I assume, we all think that, which is a higher level of tshuva, tshuva me'ava or tshuva me'ira? Hello? Tshuva me'ava, right? We've all been taught tshuva me'ava is the higher level of tshuva. So what do you think you're better than your Rebbe Yisrael Salanter? He talks about tshuva me'ira. And you think you're better than that we can go to Hashem on a level of tshuva me'ava? So Rabbi Yitzhak Blazer answered that in truth, tshuva me'ira is actually a higher form of tshuva. Tshuva Meira is a better form of tshuva. Now, it's not a discussion for right now, but Rav Kook happens to write the same thing. Rav Kook also says that Tshuva Meira is a better form of tshuva. Why? Because when a person does tshuva out of love of Hashem, it's selfish for you, because it makes you feel good. Right? You're coming back to Hashem because I want to feel good about myself, and I want to have a loving relationship with Hashem. But Tshuva Meira, says Rav Kook, is higher, because you're only doing it for Hashem. You're only doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you to do it. And there's what to discuss and to extrapolate on this idea, but it's not for right now. But Rav Yitzhak Blazer said that in this generation, his generation, look at his picture, I'm saying we're talking about 100 years ago. In his generation, they can't handle Tshuva Meira. The idea of fear and awe before Hashem was way, way beyond them. It was not helping people. And therefore, he needed to address his generation on a level of tshuva out of ahava, out of love of Hashem. And that relationship spoke to people more because they could relate. So what do we see here? And this is the point right now. Every derech in the avodas Hashem, as long as it's healthy, is appropriate. And it can change based on what's effective for that individual. We have, 20, 25 people in this room, however many it is. So each one of you relates to a different aspect of avodas Hashem. And just because you look over and you see that your friend seems to be connecting to Hashem in this path, and they like going to this year or reading this sefer, and their davening is like this, well, that's for them. That's not necessarily for you. Every single person has a different way. And just because you had a teacher or a madricha or a person who inspired you, and this book was meaningful to them, and this derech of Avodas Hashem or that Rebbe was meaningful to them, that doesn't mean that it has to be meaningful to you. And if it's not meaningful to you, that's okay. It doesn't mean there's something lacking in your connection. I don't know, I listened to this year. I don't know, I didn't think it was so great. I read this sefer. I don't know, it just didn't speak to me. So then, okay, that doesn't speak to you, that's okay. Different people are allowed to have a different derech in avodas Hashem, and that's healthy and okay. You have to find whether you're more of a person of a shita that fits with you this way, or a shita that fits with you according to your kochos and nevesh in that way. And that's why, as we say again and again and again here, you need to know yourself. You need to know yourself about what speaks to you and what's going to resonate with you as well. Rav Yisrael Salanter has a letter which he talks about anxiousness and where anxiousness is good and it's not good. So in the Or Yisrael, Igeres Yadalit, everybody has it there? So he says, Milifnim kasher yadati kol ish achzo platzos mikol hakori kadosh elul. In the old days, when people heard by Rosh Chodesh Elul, the chazan get up in shul on Shabbos and say Shabbos Mevarachim, Rosh Chodesh Elul, the people would shake. Elul's coming. Even they'd say the fish in the lakes of Kovna and in Vilna knew that Elul was coming because it so much permeated the air, the sense of pacha, the sense of awe, that the Yom HaDin is coming, and that spoke to people. And it created fruit in order to get close to Hashem. Ish lefi arko, each person according to his path. But that was milifnim. In the olden days, that worked. That motivated people. People heard Rosh Chodesh Elul, and that was enough to send them into a frenzy to get ready for Rosh Yom Kippur. In the past, as we saw, that worked. There is an anxiousness that can motivate people to Avodas Hashem, which can be positive. But nowadays, that anxiousness cannot guarantee that something positive will come, that fruits that will be beneficial will come from that. And again, just because you read something before that might have worked in the past, okay, it's okay. If no one here is shaking this coming Rosh Chodesh Elul, when the Chasen says Rosh Chodesh Elul and Shul Shabbos Mevarachim, it's okay. It doesn't mean you're lacking Avodas Hashem. It might mean that you need a different way to get there, a different path in order to get to that connection as well. Look over here. See, everyone sees the last picture on page one, Rav Chaskel Levenstein. So Rav Chaskel, look at that face. Okay, that is a face on the that permeates Yerushalayim. This is Rav Chaskel Levenstein. He was the Mashkiach in the Mir and later Panovich in Eretz Yisrael. So one year, Rav Shlomo Hoffman was davening in Panovich for Rosh Hashanah, and he was given a seat close to the front. We already know that he was very close with the Panovich Rav. The story from last time about counting the tiles on the porch. So he was given a seat very close to the front. But on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, he switched seats. He didn't want to sit in the front anymore, and he moved towards the back of the Beis Medrash. So Rav Shach saw him on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and he asked him, "Where were you? You were davening by us first day of Rosh Hashanah Panovich. I didn't see you the second day." So Rav Hoffman said, "No, I was there. I was there the second day. I had to move to the back of the Beis Medrash. I didn't like my seat." I said, "What are you talking? You're sitting on the front? Panovich, Yeshiva, davening, Rosh Hashanah. This is a big deal. How would you move such a seat?" So Rav Shlomo Hoffman said, he said, "The truth is that my seat was right next to Rav Chaskel Levenstein. And his face of the Mashkiach was so overwhelming. The pachad, the yiras Hashem in his face when he was davening was so intense that it made Rav Shlomo Hoffman uncomfortable. And he had to move somewhere else because he couldn't handle looking at it because he was so intense and almost like shaking that he couldn't handle it. It was distracting him during the davening on Rosh Hashanah. He couldn't deal with it. So Rav Shach said, "What are you talking about? I don't understand what you mean." He said, "I sit right next to Rav Chaskel Levenstein and I look at his face during davening. And according to the expressions on his face, I gain a better understanding of where we are in the davening. When he says a word during the Shemona Esrei, during the davening, or during the Tefillah davening together, and I see his face, how it contorts, how it moves, and how he's living the davening, it gives me a deeper understanding of the words of the Tefillah just by looking at his face." So, says Rav Hoffman, Rav Shach was on a level that the Yira was inspiring. That pachad from Rav Chaskel Levenstein, again, look at that face, it's so intense, it's so focused, Shuvisa Hashem Lenegli Samid, it was so meaningful to him that for Rav Shach, it motivated him in a positive direction. But the same face, the same davening next to Rav Chaskel Levenstein, when it came to Rav Shlomo Hoffman, it motivated him in the opposite direction. It wasn't helpful at all. And that's okay. Rav Shlomo Hoffman's not saying he's worse than Rav Shach, Rav Shach is better, but that intense experience of the Davar Rosh Hashanah was helpful for one person and unhelpful for another person. Okay? We're clear on this point? Have I made it crystal? Okay. Now, Rav Isaac Sher has this line that we keep on repeating from Rav Yisrael Salanter. I brought it again for you on the sheet. And Rav Yisrael Salanter said that Habayahi lo hachet ela eich mismodedim oito. The issue is not the failure. The issue is not the sin. It is what? How you handle it. And this is what we're going to try to work on more. Don't become overwhelmed by chid or failure. If the pasuk says in Koheles, ki adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov l'yachta, there's nobody in the world that doesn't sin. You don't want to give up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us tshuva because he believes that we can improve. And this is what we spoke about last time as well. So look here at the comments of the Sforno. I want to share with you an amazing Sforno on Bereishis in the episode of Kain and Hevel. Let's read together. I don't have to repeat the story of Kain and Hevel. We know it, right? Okay. So let's read through the Sforno, how the Sforno reads that conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Sforno, El Hevel v'al Minchaso, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu turned towards Hevel and not towards Kain, right? So the Sforno says, Shea Hevel m'hakviv ratza yu minchaso, gam kein ritsu yishaisa min ha-min roi l'ratzon. He did it in a way, he did it with a quality that was more appropriate and more beloved to Hashem. V'al kain dal minchaso lo shah. But when it came to Kain's offering, what did Hashem do? Not so much. He wasn't interested in when he was serving him. Lo sa al kain hamakriv shay bilti ratzi. It wasn't so nice. Vegam kain al minchaso shahay se bilti loy ratzon. And the offering wasn't so nice. The kavana which he brought it wasn't so nice, and what he brought wasn't so nice. V'yichar b'kinaso l'achav shay l'ratzon. And Kain got jealous at Hevel, right? V'yiplu panav, and he had beboshes panim. He was upset. He was annoyed at himself that a Kadosh Baruch Hu preferred his offering over his brother, the brothers over his. Ki el yehavishu misvaro v'lo yikabel. So says a Kadosh Baruch Hu to Kain, lama charalecha. Why are you so upset? Lama kinisa v'chicha. Why are you jealous of your brother? Kedoeg al shekibalti kirbenu beratzon. Hine lo yezer ratzon pashut o shlo kedin. He says everything I did was justified. He brought something better with better kavana, and you brought something not as good with not so good kavana. Belamel naflu panecha. Why is your face down? Kikashi yesh la kilkol eza takana ein ray lehitstar al masha avar. This is a beautiful line for the Sforno. He says when you mess up, the answer to it is not to dwell in the messing up. The answer is to roy lehishtadel lahasig tikun lasid. So pick yourself up and figure out how you're going to make it better. Don't wallow in your sorrow. Don't become depressed that it didn't go well. Don't become overwhelmed that you made a mistake, you failed, the date didn't go well, this wasn't going well, whatever, maybe the class didn't go well, this relationship isn't going well. So stop being depressed over yourself. Stop being sad. Pick yourself up, says Hashem, and make it better. Do something. It doesn't help anybody to dwell on the failure. Halo im teitiv atzmecha. If you'll make yourself better, v'tishtadel yos gam atal ratzon, then you'll also find success. Shes rom ha'ma'alavis na'aseh roves lefanach u'mucha chen lecha. All of the possibility of success is right in front of you. Just stop dwelling and becoming mired in your sadness over not doing well. And that's what the Sforno says. Just as a derech klal, we're not learning enough Sforno. The Sforno has beautiful stuff like this on every single parsha. But I think he kind of gets like pushed to the bottom of the Mikros Gedolos. Rashi, Ramban, kind of like take center stage. And the Sforno doesn't get the time that it should. But there's a lot of great stuff in the Sforno. A lot of great psychological stuff, insightful ideas in the Sforno. So something definitely to pay attention to. When there is failure, look for ways to improve. Get better. And that will raise you up. And don't dwell on it. So every failure has a way to improve. So how do we approach it? So at this point, I'm just going to want to be clear here. Rav Shlomo Hoffman spends a lot of time on Limud HaTorah as a tikkun, as a way to improve. That's not necessarily matching up for our audience. Everybody here obviously should be learning Torah. But he's talking about in a base medrash and keeping siddurim and spending hours. So I'm going to bring some of his ideas out, but I'm not going to dwell totally on all of his points because I don't know if it fits everybody here. So we're going to pull out some particular ideas. The pasuk says in Koheles Perek Yud, "Im ruach hamoshel ta'ale alecha, mikomcha al tanach ki marpi aniach chataim gdolim." So the Koheles says that if your spirit overcomes you, so stay where you are because there'll be refuah from your sins. So the Targum Yonasan, and this is actually a similar idea in the Bir Hagra on Koheles. But the Targum Yonasan is earlier than the Gra. So look what I brought for you the English translation of the Aramaic. Okay? So this is the English translation of the Targum. He says, Im ruach ha-yetzer hara moshe alecha. If the yetzer hara begins to overcome you, umisgaber la'alos alecha, and begins to pull you down, mikomcha ha-tova shir ha-yisa noeg la'amod bo. That good that you've accomplished, right, those good things that you did, don't abandon them. Don't give up. Just because you had a bad day, you lost your cool, you yelled at somebody, you said something you shouldn't have said, so don't move where you are from. Don't take a step back and say, I might as well just give up. Everything I tried to accomplish is worthless. What's the point anymore? Don't give up on that, okay? Ki divrei Torah nivru l'refua ba'olam. Because there's Torah. Torah should keep you in your place. Laniach v'lishkos l'fnei Hashem chatam gedolim, and that will allow you to stay before Hashem, and Hashem will forget those other sins. So the first thing is don't give up, don't fall off, don't stop keeping mitzvos, don't say it's not for me, don't say how to yerida. No, hold yourself in place, stay in the place where you accomplished, and get back on that horse and keep your regular Torah mitzvos. Goes on to talk about the idea of chumrah versus Torah from the idea of the Vilnagon. There's a Targum Unklos in the end of Shmos about that Slicha and Kapara comes to Limud HaTorah. Again, not our focus so much right here. He tells a great story, though, about Rav Yashiv. This is a great story. Rav Yashiv merited to have a great-great-grandson, fifth generation. He had a great-great-grandson. So they came to Rav Yashiv, and they told him, you know, Mazel Tov, a great-great-grandson. The boy was born in, the bris is going to be in Bnei Brak. So we want you to be the sandik. We want you to have sandikos to hold the baby during the bris. What a tremendous chus to go be a sandik by a great-great-grandson. So Rav Yashiv was hemming and hawing. He wasn't sure because he said to go from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak. it's gonna like ruin his siddharim. He has a certain siddharim, a certain order every single day for his learning, and it's gonna just throw off the whole day. It's gonna mess up the whole day, and tomorrow he's not gonna get sleep, and he feels it's really gonna throw his learning in a not good direction. So he said, but the Zohar HaKadosh says, I don't know the source of the Zohar, but he says there's a Zohar that says that to be the Sandik by a great, by a fifth generation, is a big segula. It's a big deal. So Rav Eliashiv said to the people, he said, I know that the Gemara says, Ashrei mi shabalakan v'talmuda bayado, that praiseworthy is the person who comes to Gan Eden, to Olam Haba, and his learning is in your hand. But it doesn't say, Ashrei mi shabalakan usegulos bayado. Praiseworthy is the person who comes here, and he has a lot of segulas in his hands. Says Rav Eliashiv, I know it works. I know that Limud HaTorah, Shmiras HaMitzvos, that is what clicks. That's what works, and that's what gets you where you need to go. Segulas, and I guess we could list all of our favorite segulas here, but, you know, challahs and kizin challahs and nishmas for 40 days, 80 days, 120 days, all those things are not what a Kaddish Baruch Hu asks you to do. We have all that we need to be successful and to accomplish. We have all that we need in order to go before a Kaddish Baruch Hu. If a person fails, and a person messes up in life, the answer is not, you know, segulas. That's not where we go to. The answer is Torah. The answer is mitzvos, you know, growing ourselves, working on our amidos, working on our relationship. That's the answer. That's what Rabbi Yashav said. Kaddish Baruch Hu is not going to ask you, after 120 years, how many segulas did you have? Right? How many times did you say nishmas? And how many chals did you bake? And how all these things, and how all these different things. He's going to ask you, Torah, mitzvos, relationship, all those things are the most important thing. Okay. Good. Fine. The Vilna Gaon writes in the Kesser Rush that a person who learns Torah shouldn't have to worry. But there's also an amazing Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Let's read this Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Can you get the door over there? Not all of them, just one of them. There's an amazing Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Let's look at this Or HaChaim HaKadosh together in Vayikra Perek Yud Ches. So the Or HaChaim says, Nachzor l'inyan shabanu alav. Let's return to this topic. Ki b'chinas ha-choshev b'davar erva, tagbir ha-chefetz v'tashletena b'ratzon, v'lo yusak ha-nitzchon ha-chefetz. He's talking in particular about a person who's involved in sins of sexual matters, but the point is relevant for all types of things. Okay? He says a person was overcome in some type of aveira, and he feels that he can't beat it. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the only way you're going to battle the Yitzhara is by the machshavos, the thoughts of averus that you sinned, you need to push it away. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, when you mess up, the best thing to do is not to dwell on the thoughts that you messed up. You need to push those thoughts away. You need to say, that's not who I am, and to get those thoughts out of your head. V'afilu tchilas ha-machshava, even beginning to think about thinking about a past avera, says the Or HaChaim, is not good. Zatigrom tigboras vaholadis tviyos achefetz vigraso. That will only pull you back in that direction. Don't dwell intellectually, mentally on that avera. Ulezet nitchachem chacham chachamim shlomo. This is what Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei. Bini im yiftoach chateim. If you get pulled by sins, perish bechinas achet shal taiba. Perish lo tichaneim al pisiyochacha betoin v'nitan. Don't engage with this. You messed up, you failed, whatever it may be. So push that thought away. If you constantly sit and dwell, I messed up again, I can't believe I did this, another failure, another time it's not working out, it's only going to pull you down that rabbit hole. Ki arichos hargeshes hachoshev, constantly dwelling on thoughts like this, afil b'chinas hasholel, tafil hagvaras hachefetz, v'tapach harotzen eila. And it's going to turn you in the wrong direction. Don't dwell on failure. If you succeed in removing the thoughts from your heart, you'll be more successful. Don't obsess over messing up. Don't get pulled down by a day that goes wrong, because if you constantly keep it in your head, it's only going to hurt you. Quotes in the Briska Rav talks about this idea as well. And just the last piece in this perek, before we move on to the last perek, is Rav Yisrael Salanter has a letter that's not in the Or Yisrael. It's printed in a Torah journal called Sohar, the O.L. Baruch edition, page Tav Chav Zayin. So in this letter, Rav Yisrael talks about emotional, spiritual, mental issues cannot be solved. He has an amazing line. He's just, this is just a side point. The letter talks about how get rid of machshava zaras, how to get rid of foreign thoughts, ideas in your head that are pulling you in the wrong direction. And he talks about not dwelling on them, and it doesn't help to fight against these things. You just have to kind of like let them like dissolve out of your head. That's Rabbi Saul Salanter's advice, to not focus on the chait, but rather to focus on what we can do about it and go forward. That feeling guilty all the time is not going to help. It'll only make things worse. So, but in the beginning, he has an amazing line. The guy wrote him a letter, and he tells him in the letter that I'm going to respond to you, but this is going to require further, you know, discussion, because this is not something that you like solve in like a quick letter and that's it. So Shlomo Hoffman says just a very important point about dealing with all types of issues. He says that we see from Yisrael that emotional, spiritual, mental issues are not solved in an email, a text, or a phone call. It takes time, right? You call it, you're having a stressful situation, you're having an emotional, spiritual, mental crisis, right? And you say, oh, let me just call this person, I'll talk this out for 20 minutes, I'll be good to go. That's not how life works. Or I'll send a text, and I'll talk to this person for 5 minutes, I'll get some chizuk, I'll listen to some inspiring, you know, shiur for like 5 minutes, and I'm, you know, check, ready to go, that's it. Says Rabbi Saul Salanter, that's not how life works. If a person has an emotional, spiritual, mental crisis, something they need to work on, something that's really upsetting them, you have to go back to it and talk about it again and work on this. It takes time. We're just kind of programmed that, well, if I tune in for 5 minutes, I get my, you know, shot of chizuk, then I'm good to go and I can, you know, I'll be fixed and solved. Said Rabbi Saul Salanter, that's not how life works. You have to write again, talk it out, discuss it, work on it, develop it, and over time, these things will eventually work their way out. Okay, the last section we're going to talk about now, in Perek Gimel in the section, is the damage of ascetics. Ascetics means withholding things from yourself. There's a thought that sometimes people have that I'll be better off if I, you know, stay away from this type of pleasure, and it'll be better for me if I don't engage in any type of positive experience, and I shut things down. What we call in the Lashon of the earliest Bali Musar, Sigufim. Sigufim is, you might have heard things like they would like roll in the snow in the freezing cold weather, as like to punish themselves, as like a kapara. They would do, or they would fast in order like to withhold food from themselves. They would do extreme things. That's a very extreme example, and not saying anybody should do any of those things nowadays. But sometimes a person thinks to themselves, well, I messed up, so I need to do something to like to punish myself. I need to stay from these things, not engage with people, and if I do this thing, that will make me better. So the Gra in Mishlei says that you need to know yourself and your kochos and your specific midos properly. And when you know yourself, you can push yourself in a healthy way and not cut things out in an unhealthy way. Says the Gra, V'amru kusha'ata yoshev lefanos, first you have to think about yourself, your midos, and then make a decision. Lo ke'elu bali taiva, not like those bali taiva, hamisanim v'hataiva miskabra yoser. They fast, and then the Yitzhar just gets worse. El tzarech l'mashmesh eza mida gover bo. You need to know your midos, and what's going to work. V'tzarech armumis gedola. You need to be keen. You need to be insightful. You need to be smart. Arum biyira, you need to have smartness in yiras Hashem. Lefisha hanachash hayarum, we know that the snake was called Arum. He was clever, right? The snake represents the Yitzhara, the Satan. So if you're going to outsmart the Yitzhara and the Satan, you need to be smart as well. Tarchlios arum kenegdo, like Yaakov Avinu. So this is important for us because a person comes back, marriage Yisrael, a person comes back from some sort of intense experience. And they tell themselves, I need to cut out technology, I need to cut out all forms of entertainment I might have had in the past, I need to cut out all types of food that I had in the past, and whatever my previous life was, for the first 18 years that I experienced, so then that's done, I'm over with that, that was all bad, no one's going to know where I went to camp, and no one's going to know where I went to school, and I'm going to pretend like I went to, you know, Beis Yaakov, Rivka Chaya, Sarah Rachel, and I'm going to pretend like I have a new life, and no one's going to know about me, and this guy's never going to know about the thing that I did, and that's, you know, picture of me online, and all that's going to be cut off, and no one's going to know about any past experiences that I ever did. So, says the Vilna Gaon, says Rosh Shlomo Hoffman, you need to be careful what you choose to excise and to cut out of your life. If there's a part of your life that is involved in technology, or entertainment, or food, or some sort of experience, and that is something that speaks to you in a real way, the answer is not necessarily going to be cut it out, shut it down, and remove it like a cancer. That's not always going to be the best policy. The Rambam in Shmona Prakim, the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avos, talks about midos, how we develop midos, what the role of midos are. So in Perek Dalad, the fourth of the eight chapters, the Rambam talks about the idea of cutting things out. And he says that there are sichlim, there are foolish people, shechasidim asu eila pu'ulos, v'lo yadu kavanasam. There are foolish people that see tzaddikim do certain types of things, but they don't understand why they're doing it. Chashvu shehem tovos, and they think that what the tzaddik is doing is a good thing. V'kivnu aleim b'chashem sheu kamosim, and they think that I'm like the tzaddik. I had a Rebbe who did A, B, and C. I had a Mora. I had a Mechaneches who behaved in this way. And what she did is going to be good for me as well. V'yanu gufusam kol minim. You know, they fast. V'chashvu hem kanu atzim maila. They think I'm doing something very frum. Mida tova v'shasu tova. And I'm doing a good thing. V'shabah yiskarav adzim l'shem. And it's getting me close to Hashem. Keilu Hashem sona ha'gufarot z'avdo. Says the Rambam, Hashem hates what you're doing, and he hates everything about how you're approaching this. V'hem lo yadru she'elu apulos ros. They don't know that they're doing something bad. Shem yagia p'chisus p'chisus ha'nefesh. And it's hurting their nefesh. V'hem la mishlam el la'ish sheni yodea b'melechas ha'refus. It's like a person who doesn't understand medicine, right? Person has a person in their life, and the friend of theirs, the relatives of them, is taking a very, very intense, harsh medicine that cures them in some way, but at the same time has terrible side effects. And they say, oh, well, this person's doing well, they're very healthy, and they're a very smart person, they're taking this medicine, so I would like to have that medicine as well. That's foolish, says the Rambam. You would never ever take medicine for something if you're not sick for that thing. That's a terrible idea. The Rambam, referring to these types of people, think that they are doing these extremes, cutting things out, cutting pleasure out of their life, as a mile of a tzaddik. But they don't understand that that medicine is for that particular individual, and that particular person knows how to do that thing in a particular way, and that's not for you. We should never refrain from engaging in the world in a healthy way as a punishment for ourselves, or refraining from pleasures in a way to, you know, move myself in a direction that's not going to be healthy. Every single thing that you decide, this is not for me, I'm not going to engage in what I used to do in the past, needs to be done in a balance, in a way that is going to be healthy and moderating in the way you function as a healthy human being. To be clear, I'm not saying anybody here, but if the way you functioned in the past was by having ham sandwiches, then that needs to be removed right away. If something is usser, then we need to get away from that's usser. But if there was something about the way you behaved in the past, and that was part of who you were, maybe there's a healthy and a kosher way to engage in that experience besides saying, no, it's done, that's who I was before, I'm not like that anymore, and I'm not going to let that manifest in my life in any way. So I'll tell you a great story. So the last picture on the page is Rav Isaac Sher. That is Rav Shlomo Hoffman's Rebbe, who we've spoken about before. So Rav Isaac Sher once saw Rav Hoffman conducting himself in a certain way, a certain hanhaga, a certain mida that he was following. So Rav Hoffman was asked by Rav Isaac Sher, why are you doing that? So Shlomo Hoffman said, well, because I see you, that you, my Rebbe, have this custom, and I want to be like you. So Rav Isaac Sher said to him a brilliant line. He said, so again, Shlomo Hoffman said, because the Rosh Yeshiva is doing this, I want to be like Rosh Yeshiva. So Rav Isaac Sher said, the Rosh Yeshiva is not a Shulchan Aruch. The Rosh Yeshiva is not a Shulchan Aruch. And even if the Rosh Yeshiva was a Shulchan Aruch, you don't pass him like every single thing in the Shulchan Aruch. You don't look at your Rebbe, you don't look at your Rosh Yeshiva, you don't look at your teacher and say, well, let's check all the boxes. They do A to Z. I must do A to Z. And therefore, that's the right way to serve Hashem. He forbade Rosh Shlomo Hoffman from following or mimicking any of his personal hanhagos, any of his personal actions, unless he understood the reason behind why he did that thing, and whether he decided that particular thing was good for his neshama. Okay? And that's crucially important, because maybe you saw, you know, a teacher in Eretz Yisrael who had, you know, 20 girls for Shabbos every single week and living in such a lifestyle, and that seems inspiring to you. And that's nice for them. But is that nice for you? Is that going to fit who you are, what your kochos are, what you're expecting, your particular nature? Just because you saw a person live a certain lifestyle, have a certain hanhaga, and that fit them, Don't think that you can copy and paste that to you. It's a great line. It should be like on a sticker somewhere. The Rosh Yeshiva is not a Shulchan Aruch. And you can cut out Rosh Yeshiva and put in whoever that is. Think whoever that person is in your life that is Rosh Yeshiva. That person is not a Shulchan Aruch. You don't simply cut and paste from them and do what they did. You have to think why they were doing that. And after you know why they were doing that, was that thing appropriate for you as well? Rabbeinu Yonah. We'll finish with this Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos in Perek Gimel. Says over here, Uvetov ha'olam nidun, v'kadosh baruch hu eino dan es ha'adam l'fim ha'asav levad, ach betuvo uvemidas ha'chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges a person according to his midas ha'chesed. And that's what it says David HaMelech in Tehillim. Chatos ne'urai u'pishai al tizkor. So David is speaking about chatos ne'urai, the sins of my youth. Right? And he's telling Hashem, don't remember them. Chatas, hein bein hashgagos bein hazadonos, she'adam oseh bin urosav, ba'od yitzro takfu v'das takala, nekala. What's a chait? A chait is an aveir did by accident. You bring a korban chatas when you do an aveir b'shogeg, a mistaken aveira, right? Ach osam she'osa achar she'gadol b'shanim, v'hu b'das shalem. But the things you do when you get older, when you're no longer young, nikraim posham omeri, that's considered a rebellious act. A poshea means a person who knows what they're doing and does it anyway, right? So the question is, why is David HaMelech speaking about chatos nu'rai? Because a chatas means a mistake, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should forgive me for my mistakes. But what averos done? But what about the averos done purposely? That's what Rabbeinu Yonah wants to know. Are you going to tell me every single chait that I did when I was younger was by accident? How can he say such a thing? That everything I do nu'urai when I'm young is considered only a by accident mess up. Bein chata'im shibin urai. Whether it is the things I did when I was young, bein ha'pisha'im she'achar she'gadalti, or whether it's the mess-ups I did when I was older and more mature, al tizkor, don't remember them. Ki ya'aleh lefanecha zichroni, tizkareni letova, lo b'miyad ma'asim tovim she'tizkareni. Remember me for the good things and not the bad things. Everything should be a chesed. Lefi she'betov ha'olam nidon. Va'af ha'rishayim ha'nidunim betuvah. And even the rishayim can be judged in this way. And he goes on to explain this idea as well. All averos when done young, says Rabbeinu Yonah, by accident or on purpose, are chataos ne'urai. We all have done silly things when you were younger and not as mature. And even the zedonos, even things, it's a major chiddush, even things that you did on purpose when you were in high school that were not good, those things are also considered chataos ne'urai. They're also mistaken things from your youth. So, Asher Shlomo Hoffman, when's that time period? So how long can I ride that wave? When I'm 20, I'm still chatos nu'urai? 25? 30? 35? 60? When is the cutoff that Hashem should look at me and say, okay, they're young, still getting their life together, still trying to figure things out? So says Shlomo Hoffman, he says the Rabbeinu Yonah, Yatzro Tokfo, when your Yitzhahara is strongest and overcoming you, and Daito Nikla, and your das is light. You're not so strong intellectually. In our youth, all three of the following are weak. Our seichel is weak. We don't have right understanding. Our brains are not fully formed when we're young. Yiras ha'onesh, we don't have a sense of embarrassment before Hashem when we're younger. And busha, we don't have a sense of being embarrassed in front of other people or being embarrassed in front of oneself. Meaning, chatos nu'urai, the mess-ups of your youth is different for every single person. Depends on your Yitzhahara and your Das. Every single person here has a different level of intellect. Every single person here has a different level of Yitzhahara. So the way Hashem is going to judge you based on being immature and not fully formed in your thinking depends on each individual. Whatever silly things that we've done or are still doing in our youth are shkagos, and they shouldn't be judged so harshly. And says Rosh Shlomo Hoffman, a beautiful line, if Hashem isn't so harsh, then why are we so harsh in ourselves? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not judging us so harshly at many points in our life, because they are chataos nu'urai, they're the silly mistakes of our youthful mind, then why are we being so harsh on ourselves? Don't get mired in the failures and the mess-ups. Pick yourself up. Think about a takana. How are we going to make things better? and work on going forward to improve the situation. Okay, questions? Questions when I turn this off? No?